sorry. I think that was longer than 10 minutes. So sorry. I was eating. So it's my fault. That was a pretty good first panel, right, guys? I mean, I think if you get some NHL general managers in here, you're probably going to cry of boredom. So that was a good GM panel, right? Yeah, that was awesome. Is that on? Is my face going to be right in there? So before we bring out our player panel, originally we were going to break it into two, but I think we're just going to bring all four of them out. We have four players from the Toronto Furies and the Markham Thunder who are going to come out. I'm going to chat with them a little bit, and then we're just going to throw it out to the audience, and you guys get to ask them your burning questions.
No, I think, too, like going on what Renata said, is that we need to stop comparing men's and women's hockey. Like, let's talk about women's hockey. Like, we're never going to be, you know, as big or as strong as them. We're just not genetically made like that. So I think, honestly, like, you see the cliche answers all the time on Sportsnet, and, like, you know, the guys are like, oh, we got a forecheck card and battle, and, like, we're okay answering those questions about our own game, right? I think, honestly, it shows that people are paying attention to what's going on game in and game out, and I think that's big for us, too. Like, we honestly just want to play and play the game well, and I think a lot of the times we start talking about the other things, and that's honestly all we want to do is play and talk about it.
Yeah, just to add to that, I completely agree. Sometimes it's nice to just talk about hockey. But when the questions do come up, I feel like there's kind of a negative connotation around it all the time, and that equality. And I think sometimes it's refreshing to also look at the other perspective and see how far we've come and be happy with where we're at. I mean, obviously, there's always room for improvement, and I'm by no means satisfied with where women's sports and women's hockey is at. But sometimes it is refreshing to take a step back and be like, hey, 2 years ago when I first started in this league, I made absolutely nothing, and it's nowhere where it is today. And I think sometimes even spinning those questions in a positive way and being like, hey, like, at the rivalry series, for example, and filling all those buildings, that's a huge step in the right direction for women's hockey. And so instead of saying, do we need to do more of this, or how can we become one league, and all these negative connotations towards the growth of women's hockey, sometimes it's nice to hear the opposite and say, how does it feel to be a part of such big growth and to see that kind of change throughout your career as well? I think it is nice to hear a refreshing side of the positivity and see how far we have really come.
I think another side too is, you know, you'd never see a reporter go up to an NHL player and ask them about their history of hockey or anything like that. So I think being more like the reporter or the interviewer being more knowledgeable about the woman they're talking to. I think we've all been in an interview or a situation where they get your information wrong, or they say your name wrong, or they have no idea like your past playing history. So I think that would never happen to a guy. And why is that happening to, I mean, we have Olympians up here, top level female athletes, like why is that happening to us? So I think that's somewhere we can see growth as well.
Yeah, I think that's something we should, like, even I have to work on that too. I know I've done some stories about one league, and I feel bad asking those kind of questions, because I do want to just say, hey, like, why wasn't your power play clicking today? So I'm glad you guys, like, want those kind of questions, and I hope that it's starting to trend in that direction. And Laura, to your point with the negative spin, you know, I see it a lot on social media, and I don't know how tapped in you guys are with some of the conversations happening online. I mean, the All-Star Game, instead of people talking about the amazing product on the ice, all the reporters were talking about how they didn't have a press box and why they weren't allowed into the draft. Did you guys see that kind of stuff? What was your... Because I tweeted at them saying, like, they put out a statement saying, you know, the way that this happened and this happened was not okay. And I tweeted at them saying, by the way, that's not going to help grow the game. Like, you probably shouldn't be talking about your own selfish stuff, because, like you said, 2 years ago, women didn't get paid to play hockey. So who cares if you don't have a press box? Put your laptop on your lap. Like, I don't know. Did you guys see that kind of conversation? Or did you see that online? What was your reaction to that?
Yeah, I think we hear rumblings of it. Like, I think it kind of goes through, like, the grapevine pretty quick. I mean, I think for us, too, like, we try, obviously, not to see it. But I think, too, we need to do our best, too, to also vocalize the positive spin on it, too. Like about the draft, it was, you know, I think, obviously, we all want to have as much coverage as possible. But for us as players, it was a nice night to just kind of hang out with each other and have a night of the whole weekend. And yeah, we do want as much coverage as possible, but it was great to just kind of hang out and be a group for a couple hours, and after that, for sure, give us all the media you want all weekend. But I think for us, I know for me, that was one of the highlights of the weekend. We got to kind of hang out and see the draft. It was an intimate setting, and I think that way, as a player, it was kind of one way to kind of slow down the weekend, because it can go by really quick and kind of be a blur.
That's awesome. And so one thing that I didn't talk about with the GM panel, and Chelsea got kind of mad at me, was this conversation of one league. And, you know, that's one thing that I feel like gets, you know, beaten a lot, and everyone's been talking about it. But what do you guys want to see? How do you, like, in the next year or 2 years, what do you want to see in this one league conversation? Or I guess, you know, what do you want to see? Jeez, words are hard. What do you want to see your game kind of grow to in that one league conversation?
I think the biggest thing with the one league is we just need the best players in the world playing together. It doesn't, like, at this point, as players, we're not really concerned, like, what it looks like. We just want to be able to have the top talent together, so every single night it's a great game, because we know if that is what's happening, if that's the future, the game's going to continue to grow. And I think that's probably the biggest thing for us.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think it's obvious that there is a lot of support for women's hockey. It's like one of the most watched sports events at the Olympics. Our rivalry series again was sold out, and the TV viewings were huge. So when it is best on best, there is so much support and everybody loves it. And so if we can get that, and like Renata said, have every single one of the best players constantly playing against each other in a season, that support's going to be there, and it'll only grow. And I think as long as we can get those players to play in one league, regardless of if it's all in Canada, all over North America, wherever the location is, I think all of us would be willing to make sacrifices to make that happen. And I think it's just a matter of time, and we are taking steps in that direction. But I agree. I think it is a matter of getting the best on the best so that the game can grow.
It's a scary thought if you have these two leagues combined or whatever happens, and as a goalie, just thinking about the firepower that you have coming at you. I mean, you already play certain teams like Montreal and Calgary, and I mean, really every
Mark
team.
Markham, too.
I was getting there.
Their forwards are tough.
Hey guys, I was getting there.
But that Stacey line is really good.
But you play against these players, and you're missing the other half, right? You're missing all the Americans. You only have a couple playing in this league, and if you have them all playing together, I mean, it's going to be scary, and it's going to grow the game so far. And I mean, you already see the fans in Montreal and places like that. It's going to grow, and it's really going to take off. So I really hope it happens.
I'm scared that, like, Kendall Coyne might go to Calgary where her friends are. Like, I don't know. Chelsea, like, please get her in, like, Markham. Like, I don't want any more in Calgary. I mean, I don't play against them, so I won't get personally victimized by them, but I guess last question for me, and then we'll throw it to the audience. In that one league conversation, I think one of the things that gets talked about a lot is the NHL's involvement in, you know, in whatever iteration a one league looks like. I think there's a lot of naysayers who say, you know, they don't want the NHL involved. They want it to just be one league run, you know, by whomever is doing it now. Are you guys open and wanting the NHL to be involved in that one league?
We like the NHL. Yeah.
I think, like, we were talking about it the other day about how, like, if it did happen, especially through the NHL, and I just, like, it just, you just picture of how much your life would change, I think. Like, you know, you think of an NHL player, the day in the life of an NHL player compared to ours, is kind of like, as an athlete, you're like, oh, I want to do that. I want to play against the best, practice against the best every day, and kind of have one focus throughout the year. And I think that's one thing that we ultimately want to get to is, you know, a lot of players in our league they have a lot of other stuff going on, right? And don't get to train full time, and that's part of it all is that if we do get to that point, imagine the product. Like, how good is it going to be when we get to train full time, and really that's our only focus? Like, a lot of us have part-time jobs, or even some of the girls have full-time jobs during the week, and it's so fun to think about, I think, when it does happen, and it's going to be pretty fun, I think.
Yeah, and just adding on to that, I think even this year, the NHL has stepped up really big, the NHL and the NHLPA, and all the little events, all the little contributions they've made, seeing Renata go to the All-Star Weekend down there, everything they've done so far has been a huge success and has been a huge contribution to our league and has made a really big difference. And if that is what any little part of the league would be with them involved, I think that's something that we would all love to see. I think it's huge progress, and every event that we've seen has been amazing. And so if that's any little picture of what it could possibly be, I think it's something that we'd all love to see.
Anything to add? No?
Yeah, I think the NHL, they have so many resources out there, you know, so much media. They can really help promote the league. So if we have their support and we're underneath their branch, I just think it can take off so quickly. People will know where to see us when we're playing. And that's an issue right now that we deal with, is people don't know where to come see us. They don't know where we play or what the league is even called. But if you're under something like the NHL and they're promoting us on a daily basis, it's only going to grow from there.
And I think you see you can compare it to the NBA and the WNBA, right? Like, I'm not fully aware of, like, their exact situation, but, I mean, look how far that league has come. They're under the NBA, and they have so much coverage. You see the women that get to play way into their 30s, whereas right now I don't think many teams have people in their 30s on the team just because they have to move on with their life. They have full-time jobs and stuff. And, you know, we don't make that much money, so it's hard to keep going. But I think, you know, if the NHL can take us over, or we, whatever the situation is, I think it can really go good places.
I agree. Do you guys agree? Do you want to see, like, a WNHL? It's blinding. So I think this is the point where I'm going to throw it into the audience. Katie, are you out there? I can't see. Okay, who has a first question? Katie has the microphone. It's wireless, so we got one in the corner here.
Somebody else has an angle. So the key to any league's success is connecting with the fans, and the CWHL has done a really good job in doing that. And connecting with the fans is getting to know the individual players. I remember, you know, the NHL when I was a kid, when you were a kid. You know, the masks were off and you could see their faces and connect with them. And so being able to connect with individual players is knowing a little bit about them. So with that in vain, athletes are superstitious. And so what is the one superstition that you each have before you go into a game that you've got to do on that day?
I don't really have a lot of, I call them routines, I think that's what they're called, right? No, I'm not really superstitious. Like, I'm the type, if something, like, I very much have a routine, I think a lot of the girls do. But if it goes astray, if we're late or anything, I don't really panic that much. The big thing is a big win in spike ball. Do you guys know what spike ball is? If I don't usually win in spike ball, I'm a little thrown off. But anyways, I usually tape, one big one is I just like to tape my stick by the rink. Like, I like to just have a little 5-minute break by myself. That's about it. And then other than that, it's hanging out with the girls and having laughs. I don't like to take it too seriously, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I'm not superstitious really at all either. I have routines, and they're very similar to Ratty's. Shay and I are spike ball partners, and I agree.
We're really good.
Yeah, we're really good, but Julie Allen is really good too, and she's competitive. And so we get a little frustrated sometimes when we play here and we don't win. That throws me off a little bit, but...
Who do you think would win? Me and Stace against you and...
Us.
Does anyone have a spike ball
what?
Thing?
I don't 100%. Think so.
No questions
asked. Markham versus Toronto spike ball.
We should have a tournament. But yeah, no, and then I just like to tape my stick. Other than that, go with the flow.
Toe to heel?
Is that okay?
No, heel to toe.
Only you, Hoff.
I'm not very superstitious either. I used to be when I was younger. I was a little nuts, I'm not going to lie.
You're a goalie.
Okay.
I also went to Clarkson.
That's a not true. But, well, I am a goalie. But no, I try not to be superstitious. I was when I was younger, and if I didn't hit my post a certain way, I was done. I couldn't play. but no, I got out of those, and I just go with the flow, have a big breakfast, and, you know, win spike ball.
Not against us.
We've clearly all been to a lot of mental training classes, because I also only have routines, not superstitions.
But similar kind of idea. I'm a big breakfast kind of person, a long nap, however long it could be. I like to pregame skate a little here or there, depending on the game, what time it's at. But then come game time, I'm just like all the others. So I like to have some fun, stay pretty loose, play a little spike ball too. Not as distraught if I lose. It happens a little, I guess. But other than that, I don't have too many superstitions either.
On that, is there anyone on your teams that has like that super psychotic? I think it was Jack Eichel like routine. Did you guys read that? Does anyone have that?
I don't think so on our teams. But I remember at Clarkson, we went to Clarkson S3, and we had some crazy ones. Like, as a team, we always had to go out in the same order. We warmed up in the same order. It was pretty wild, eh, guys? And even our coaches had some good ones. But I think, and surprised that I still don't have them after a career like that. But I'm surprised, like, Jack Eichel's is pretty extreme. I've never seen anything like that.
Did anyone else see that? It was like...
You know, your routines are all superstitious.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, I guess. I think the biggest thing, though, with our league is that there's, like, so many things that can happen before a game that you can't be superstitious because if you'll be thrown off quite often.
Like your flight can get
maybe
delayed.
Your flight's canceled and you just got to show up to the rink, put your equipment on, and go play.
How many times did that happen to you guys this season?
Well, Toronto, a couple times. So, yeah, you can't really have a whole, like, particular routine because you'll be thrown off quite often. You have to learn how to just kind of go with it and not let things bug you.
Very not psychotic. Any question out there?
Yeah, we have one. First of all, one of my favorite Michael Scott lines ever, I'm not superstitious, but I'm a little stitious, and that's all I could think of when you guys are saying that. Okay, next we have Brant with a question.
Hi, ladies. Hi. Today, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers hired two assistant coaches that are female. My question for you is, what do you think happens first, that the NHL brings in a female referee or that you may have a female NHL coach? And if so, who do you think the female referee might be or who do you think the female coach may be?
I think it would be closer. I think a coach would be more up their alley at this point in the game.
Especially with the refs in our league sometimes.
Yeah, it's just. I mean, I think. I think the women have really good hockey minds. I think we see the game from a different perspective sometimes than men, just because we have to play our game differently. And I think that would really add a new perspective, just because we can't body check fully, and we play with a lot of speed. So I think just having that different viewpoint would be really beneficial to the men's game. And so I think a female coach would be the first thing to be implemented for sure.
Yeah, I would have to agree with Shay. I think there's a lot of smart hockey players on the women's side. And I think Courtney Kessel could be close. She's I've played with her too. She's one of the smartest hockey players I've ever seen. And on the bench too. I'm sure you guys see it firsthand with her on the bench. Not that I have her on the bench. But honestly, someone like that, I think you could see be behind the bench. And I think the men's game is very, it's not as physical, like Shay said. And it's a very skilled game very much more a mental game now. So I think, honestly, you could see it very soon, I hope.
Yeah, I agree. I was kidding about the referee thing.
If we said this was off the record,
I would still be kidding. But no, I think it's always... players are always going to get frustrated at times. It's the heat of the moment, that kind of stuff. But I do think... it's been amazing to see coaches and skills coaches and even figure skating coaches get involved with the NHL. I know Haley Wickenheiser is the skills coach for the Maple Leafs. We skate a lot with Barb Underhill, and she works with the Leafs and the Marlies on a daily basis. And just to see that, it's an amazing start. And I think there's numerous players that I've played with who easily, I think, have a smart enough hockey IQ and sense that the transition to the men's game would be seamless, I think. And I think it's just a matter of time, to be honest. And I think the Leafs have done an amazing job of kind of pushing that barrier and moving things forward. And I think slowly but surely, it's not going to be a matter of what sex or what gender you are, but more importantly, how well you know the game and how much you can bring to the table. And I think it's definitely getting there. And I think that's why coaches are going to be the first ones to make that transition.
Oh, yes, please.
Okay, next we have Mark with a question.
Can you wave before you ask so we can see you?
Cool. Nice jersey.
Oh, thanks. I just got it yesterday. It's gorgeous. I love it. So I know tonight's about women's hockey, but I'm asking this because I'm just so curious to get your guys' thoughts on this. The NHL playoffs are starting next month. Who do you like in the East? Who do you like in the West? Who do you like as your Stanley Cup winner? And why?
Oh, he's got a bit. Who do you want to win?
I'm a big Flames fan, so I'm going Calgary Flames all the way. But but Thunder and the CWHL.
Gotta go with the Leafs. The hometown team, the Leafs for sure. I feel a lot of us work with Mike Ellis as our skills coach, and he also is the Toronto Maple Leafs skill coach. So he shows us a lot of video of the Leafs when we're learning different skills. So I feel like we have like a connection with some of those players. Like we watch them a lot. So I definitely have to go with the Leafs.
Yeah, I think the Leafs are good. Tampa's just so good. Like they're just ridiculous. Like I love watching the NHL. I'm a big hockey nerd. So I don't know. The Flames are also very good in the West. I think those guys are pretty powerful. So I don't know. We'll have to see. But I think Tampa. I gotta pick Tampa.
I think I'd pick Tampa too. They're just. I mean, how can you stop Kucherov? Like, I mean, I think he just scored. I think he just got his like 120th point tonight or something. That's crazy. Yeah, I don't know. If you're a goalie, good luck.
I'm gonna join Renato with the Leafs for sure. They've taken a little step back lately, but I think they're gonna regroup and come back stronger. They're young, they're fun, they're taking it easy before playoffs for sure.
I can't.
I do like the Leafs too. Okay.
I like the Leafs too. They support us, so
I like the Leafs. I can't wait to revisit this after a Leafs and Tampa series. Okay, next we have Daniel with a question.
Hi.
Can you wave, please?
Over here.
Okay, back corner.
You all devote so much time to growing the game. I wonder if you have a favorite moment when it comes to meeting with a young player that off the ice.
I'm going to throw this to you guys. I haven't done anything.
Okay, I just have a little story. It happened the other day, so I have to share it. It's not about me, but it was really cute. So we were in Kitchener with some of the Hockey Canada girls, and we just got to the rink. It was like 8 in the morning, and Spooner was there. And there was a Victus Academy. It's like a prep school that practices out of this rink in Kitchener. And this dad comes right up to us, and he's like, Natalie, like, can I borrow you for a second? Like, he just picked her out from us. He's like, my daughter's your biggest fan. So he goes into the dressing room, grabs his daughter, and his daughter comes out, looks at Natalie, and just starts bawling her eyes out. Aww. And it was the cutest thing ever. But yeah, so that was amazing to see. But I think for me, this past Christmas, I had a dad reach out to me and say that his daughter was a big fan, and if I could send something for Christmas for her. So I sent her a shirt I had that, you know, had Renata Fast on it, and a photo that was signed, and he sent me a video of her opening the present, and just to see her excitement, and she couldn't believe it, and it was just pretty cute to see.
Yeah, I had one the other day, too. I do a lot of coaching in minor hockey, and actually one of the girls that I coach was doing a project on the CWHL, which I thought was pretty neat, and she came up to me at one of the practices and was like, hey, can you give me some stuff for my project? And I said, yeah, no problem. So I just gave her a whole bunch of pictures and stuff, and she just seemed so excited to kind of talk about it, and I don't know, I thought that was pretty neat that some of the girls in school are doing stuff on the CWHL, and that even I think maybe she was 9 or 10 years old, that she knew exactly, you know, the teams and the players, and wanted to get more information. So I thought it was pretty neat to see. So
I have a little fan at Clarkson still. It's actually our athletic director's granddaughter, and she's only like 3 years old, but last season she came down to the dressing room and put on my pads, and my pads were bigger than her. And she just thought it was the coolest thing, and ever since then, like, I don't, she just loves goalies now, and whenever she sees me, it's Shay Tiley. It's never Shay, it's always Shay Tiley. And she just loves the women's game, loves all the girls, and I think it just seeing someone get so attached like that to the women's game, and she doesn't really like the guys that much, so it's which is usually the opposite. So it's kind of cool to see that, and to see someone get so excited about the women's game and stuff.
I've been thinking about it hard, and I'm really struggling to pick out one, like, concrete moment. But I think something that's really stuck out to me lately, actually, is regardless of where we are, what game it is, the amount of little boys coming out to our games and asking for autographs and knowing who we are as well. I think that's one of the first things that I noticed when I first joined the league is that it wasn't there. It was only ever little girls or moms in the stands coming to watch, or obviously dads too, so like bringing their little daughters. But I've really noticed lately that there's a lot of little boys doing that as well, and I think it's huge to see that we're not only inspiring and being role models for little girls, but we can also do the same for little boys. And like the NHL is kind of role models and inspire us, I think hopefully one day we can do that as well. And it shouldn't matter if it's just little girls or little boys. It's anybody. It's hockey. It's a sport. And I think that's something that's really opened my eyes lately.
Yeah, and I think just all those moments, I think that's just really illustrative of why we should be celebrating the differences in the women's game instead of talking about why it's negative because it's different from the men's, because there aren't as many moments like that in the men's game. You know, not many people would get to go and put on Freddie Anderson's pads and run around and call him Frederick Anderson. Two names, like it just doesn't happen. There's not the same kind of access, and I think that's one of the things that the women's game should be celebrated for, is for being different.
I completely agree. Like, even after games, like, we walk out into the lobby to see our parents with every other fan who's in the building, and there's no like back door, side door, room. We enter the same way every other person enters the rink, and it is really unique, but it's also amazing. We go out to say like hey to our family and friends, and here we are getting to see tons of different fans who come out every single game to support us, and I think that is really something special and unique about our league.
So I actually have a follow-up question to that, because you guys were once the little girls that were going to games and looking up to players. Who was the player or the one moment that you had where you were like, I want to do this. This is the life I want.
I can start this off. I don't, for me, I never had the opportunity to go to a CWHL game or see any women's hockey live in person until I was kind of starting my own path, I guess, in high school. I didn't know about it. I played boys hockey. I guess I was just in a different world. I never had that opportunity, and I really wish I did, because it's amazing to see what these little girls have today, to be honest. But I think for me, I saw the Olympics on TV in my room, or in my house. And it was 2002. It was in Salt Lake City. And I think that was the very first moment where I was like, wow, like, Cassie Campbell was the captain. They won the Olympic gold medal. And I think it was that moment on, I was like, wow, this is a thing. Like, girls can play hockey. Like, girls can be great and be, like, amazing at sports and do something amazing in this world just like guys. I see all the guys that I play with on my hockey team. Like, I can experience that too. And that was the moment it clicked for me. And I think Cassie Campbell is definitely the person, I guess, in the instance that I instantly stuck in my head and has kind of been that person ever since.
Yeah, I think me too, the 02 Olympics. I remember watching Jaina's goal, Heffy's goal at the end of the second period. There was like a second left. And I remember it sticks in my head, the celebration. And I remember being there with my parents, just kind of celebrating in our living room. But I don't know, like we talked about the All-Star game and how we got to kind of have that draft meeting. And all those girls were there that were on the 02 Olympic team, like with Cassie Campbell and Vicky Sanahara and those girls. And I was sitting with them just chatting about the memories they had. And I was like starstruck. Like, and it's funny because like those were my idols growing up. And I just wanted to hear all the stories from their perspective, similar to the stories we have now in the dressing rooms, but and the camps. And I was just sitting there like, I didn't even say a word, I don't think. I was just taking it all in. But yeah, I think the 02 Olympics were definitely a big one. And I think and then you hear the storylines behind it from the girls themselves, and you realize why it was such a big moment for Canada.
For me, I actually I played for the Burlington Barracudas growing up in the yeah and they actually used to have a CWHL team. They were called the Burlington Barracudas as well. And I think I was in, I don't even know, Bantam or Midget, and I got called up to practice with the CWHL team. I don't know why, I was young. But a group of us, they didn't have enough bodies, so they asked us to come up and practice with us for a game, or for a practice, sorry. And I remember Becky Keller was on the ice with me, and I was like so starstruck by her, because I knew she was an Olympian, and you know, I knew I wanted to go to the Olympics. Olympics one day. And so that was kind of a moment for me that I was like, oh, there is somewhere for us to continue to play. And I remember I went out to a couple games and I watched them in Burlington. But it's funny, I left that practice and I got in the car and my dad was like, so, like, did you outskate? Did you outskate any of them? And I was like, no, Dad, it was Becky Keller. But yeah, so Becky Keller is the person for me, and it started really when I went to the CWHL practice as a young girl helping them out for bodies. Extra bodies out on the ice. Body.
For me, it started with my dad. He played professional for a long time, so we traveled around with him and was always skating with him after practice and stuff. So that's kind of where my love of the game came in. And then we lived in Milwaukee, Wisconsin for a little bit, and Minoh Raom was actually my neighbor. And her son was around my age, and I have a younger brother too, so we always play road hockey, and we'd use her Olympic mask. So that's kind of how I became. Yeah, that's kind of how I wanted to become a goalie. And then just seeing that, remembering the 06 Olympics and mainly the 2010, though, it really sticks out for me. I still don't have words. And then being at Four Nations with some of those girls, I know it was just this year, but like, I was very starstruck. I was like, Shannon Zavados is my goalie partner. I was like, oh. You look up to these girls for so long, and then you're their teammate. It's a pretty special moment. So I was lucky to experience that this year.
Actually, at Four Nations, Shay came up to me during practice, and she was like, "Oh my goodness, Poulin just scored on me."
With a
big smile on her face, and I'm like, "Did you want her to score on you?"
No, okay.
She was like,
I actually made a really nice save on her in practice once at Four Nations, and she complimented me on it, and I almost had to leave the ice. I was like,
she almost retired after that.
Yeah, I mean, but then she scored a hat trick on me on SportsCenter a month later, so I guess we're even.
That's so amazing.
And I think, to add on, like, I think Cassie Campbell's probably one of the most interesting people to speak to. Like, she was one of my idols when I was growing up, but my dad put me in hockey. I was really bad, so that's why I'm a journalist and not a hockey player. But talking to Cassie Campbell is just, is it not, like, the best? It's the most interesting, she's the most interesting person to speak to.
Yeah, it's, like I said, like, that one night I was, like, glued to all the girls talking, and Cassie definitely does have one of those, like, when you have in a conversation with her, you're very engaged in what she's saying, and I don't know, all the girls kind of have that presence. I don't know about you guys, but, like, when they're in a room like that, I think you feel gravitated towards them and just want to hear what they have to say and their opinions on what's going on, and I don't know, that's the kind of the vibe I get from girls like that, especially Cassie.
Yeah, I agree. Cassie is obviously a phenomenal hockey player and was amazing for Canada, but I think her character off the ice is even better. I think she leads by example in everything she does, and she's grown the game to an incredible level, and I think what she does for us and helping us, supporting us, pushing the game forward with her daughter, too, and what she's doing there, and I think she's amazing. She's a great role model for us to look up to. And Ratty's right; her energy is contagious. It was on the ice, and it still is to this day.
Anything else in the audience?
We have a question back here. We have Jared.
Jared, where are you?
We're way in the back.
Hello. Actually, Cassie had a really great interview on 31 Thoughts, the podcast. So if you haven't listened to that, definitely take a listen to that. But Renato, you actually mentioned the Burlington Barracudas, and
were you the one that screamed?
No, I didn't. I clapped. I'm actually their PA announcer right now, which is cool. But we also talked about the grassroots of hockey and women's hockey in with the managers a little bit, and how important do you think the PWHL and a league like that is for the development of future CWHL athletes coming up?
Yeah, I think the PWHL is huge for the development of the women's game, and we're really fortunate in the GTA, Ontario, Southern Ontario area to have a league like that where the teams are so close and there's so many talented players that they can play on these teams and develop. And I think we talked about it a little bit before Chelsea and Katrina talked about it a bit. Although they're not recruiting at the PWHL level, it's a huge stepping stone to go into college or university programs, and then from there, that's kind of where they recruit for the CWHL, but it's definitely a huge stepping stone, and we all played, yeah, in the PWHL, and it was a great place for us to grow and get recruited for NCAA scholarship opportunities.
Yeah, and like we talk about the CWHL evolving, I think the PWHL has evolved to a ton. Like when I grew up, I grew up in Ottawa, and there's only one team there, and now there's, I think, two or three there. And it's interesting to see, like, yeah, it's interesting to see like how it's grown and how the programs are run. They're run like very much like college programs, right? So the girls are very much ready to go to that next level, and I think it's awesome. Like they learn how to put a full season together. They have to travel. They have to learn how to take care of themselves throughout the whole season, which I think is huge. Like they said throughout the NCAA, so it's pretty fun to watch.
Yeah, I think on that note too, we were talking about it after we heard the comments a little bit in the previous talk, but I think it would be amazing if the PWHL was closerly, I don't know what the word is, is closer connected to the CWHL, and if those girls could aspire to not only go to college and play in the NCAA, but dream to play in the CWHL. Like, I wish when I was in the PW, I was like, you know what? When I graduate, I want to play for Markham. But that never crossed my mind. I didn't know about it. I didn't think about it. And hopefully one day we'll get to that point where it is. Like, the CWHL and the PWHL are almost interconnected in the sense of everybody who's in the PWHL says, yeah, I'm going to go to college. I'm going to train. I'm going to get better. And hopefully I one day have a chance to play in the CWHL.
Yeah, I think the PW is a really good stepping stone. Like, it really, I know for me personally, I played 2 years in midget AA just because I lived in Owen Sound, so it was pretty far. And then I played 1 year in Kitchener in the PW, and that was a major stepping stone. And I think that really set me up for my success at college and being able to step in freshman year and start playing. I think if I hadn't have had that experience, it might not have gone as smoothly. So I think it's a really good stepping stone, and people should take advantage of it.
Okay, our next question is from Kim. We're right over here.
Hi. Renata, would you mind telling us a little bit about NHL All-Star Weekend, your experience there?
Yeah.
Please.
It was incredible. It was such a unique experience. Definitely never thought I would ever go to the NHL All-Star competition in my life. But I was really fortunate to have that opportunity, and it was amazing that the NHL, you know, they took that step and they invited four females down there to represent the women's game. And the idea behind it was to promote the rivalry series that was a couple weeks after the skills competition. But it was pretty amazing to see, just by four of us being there and getting a little bit of media attention for the women's game, how much it really, you know, it grew our game in a positive way. And it really gave us some positive attention, which we needed. But yeah, it was really cool to be down there on the ice with those guys. And it's funny, you wouldn't think that they'd be nervous to go do their skills, but they were really nervous to go out there and do their skills. Especially after Kendall Coyne did her skate, the guys were like, I don't want to go. So yeah, it was pretty cool. And especially I had chills when Kendall did skate. We were sitting on the bench right with the guys, and I think she took 3 steps off that line to start her skate, and the guys jumped up off the bench because they knew right then and there that she was going to put up good numbers just from her initial start. So they were awesome, and so much support, and I think we're really fortunate, and the connection with the NHL is going to continue to grow between the women's game and the NHL.
Okay, next we have Alyssa.
Hi, so I want to bring the conversation back to playoffs, but CWHL playoffs. And one of the most bonkers things to me is the fact that the first round of playoffs is like back to back to back. And I just want to call out Shay. You were absolutely amazing. Number of shots you faced, saves you made, incredible games. But what I really... Yeah.
Thank you.
What I'd love to know from everyone is, like, how do you get your head in the game to, like, play those games, do that grind, and bring your, like, best game game after game after game?
Long pregame naps. No, I think it's tough. Like you said, the 3 games is hard. Like, I think we always would joke around, like, let's just win in 2 so we don't got to play 3, you know? Like, I think... it's hard mentally. I remember going to that third game on this past Sunday or 2 weeks ago, and it was like, okay, my body was tired, but you had to kind of grind your way through it and find a way, because you knew that it was going to be a long game, especially against a tough opponent. But I think you mentally you prepare because you go in because you have no idea what could happen, but it's tough. Like as a player, you know you're going to have to play three straight days, and in those games, even after two games after a weekend on the Monday, I feel like I got hit by a bus. So usually three is a lot.
Yeah. For our Toronto series, we played three games on the Olympic size ice, so that was exhausting. But I think you just have to grind through it. We knew heading into the weekend that it was most likely going to go to three games, and we talked about it as a team and the things we needed to do in order to prepare for that, hydrate, sleep, rest up. I think, you know, everyone sitting right here played big minutes during those three games, but it's playoffs, you have adrenaline, you want to keep playing, you're fighting for your life, so it's just a grind, and, you know, we work at it.
Yeah, I agree. At that point in game three for us, we knew on Friday night if we wanted to have any chance of moving on, we were going to play three games, and so at that point, you don't look at it as game one, two, and three, you just kind of go game by game, and when you show up for the rink on Sunday, I guess it is, this is it. It's the do or die game. It's the winner goes on. And I think you kind of put all that tired fatigue, like, yes, your legs are sore out there, but the mental battle isn't as much as a battle, because this is it. You're either done your season or you have the chance to play for the Clarkson Cup. So I think that kind of just like rings all the bells in your head, and it kind of creates that adrenaline, and you just go for it.
Yes, Stace.
I think for me it was trying to forget about like what happened the night before. I mean, even if it was positive or negative, you know, it's a new day. Just moving on and trying to do everything you can to make your body feel good, even though it probably does not feel very good. But just doing everything you can, and I mean, enjoying the experience. You know, we made the playoffs just barely. You know, we won out our last five games, and we always kind of would joke around about it, but we did it, and then we won the first game in Calgary. So that was pretty big for our team and our program. So I think it was just taking it game by game and just really enjoying it and soaking it all in and leaving it all out there, which I think we did.
Yeah, going on that too, I think the energy is just different, right? Like in the playoffs, I think you just get there and your adrenaline's going and everyone's feeding off each other. Like our energy in our room is very, very high, I would say. And I'm sure the same with you guys. Like, especially with when you're on a roll like that, it's pretty tough for the energy to even be down. So I think it switches gears. It's like anything, right? You get excited and the energy in the room just kind of brings you up, even if you are on game three.
Okay, we're way in the back corner here. I've got Corwin with a question.
Hi. So I'm over here.
It's a lost cause. It's fine.
So my sister, who's also a Burlington Barracuda growing up, and shout out. And one thing, so she used to play on my beer league team, and then she actually wore a visor all the time. And this was something that she like would get like asked about. And I always wondered if there was ever a desire for you guys to use a visor. Like, not even, obviously those are the rules, but like in terms of in the Olympics or something like that, would you want to use a visor?
Absolutely not.
Unless we get solid dental insurance, there's no way.
On the goalie side, though, I think we want to wear a cat eye like the NHL goalies do, and not the straight bars, because it really sucks. I mean, 4 years in college, you got to wear the cat eye, which, I mean, like, it's what the goalies in the NHL use. And then you're back to, like, the minor hockey cage, and it's straight bars right in your eye. So it's different than a visor, obviously, but I'd like to see that change from the goalie perspective.
Is there a reason why that is?
Insurance. We're under like minor hockey insurance, so that's why. I think
I would try the visor. I'd be very scared to try the visor, but I've heard that the vision is way, way better.
Try a bubble.
I could try a bubble. Do you guys think I can? I don't know if I could rock that. I think I would like to try it. I think I'd be a little more, I think until you get used to it, I think I'd play a little more timid, I think. I think a lot of us would, because we haven't done anything else different, right? I'm sure the guys would say the opposite, too. If they had to go back to the cage, it'd be way different in terms of having to see the ice. So, I don't know, I think it'd be fun maybe in the off season, and can't raise the puck.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it would be interesting because as females, like you said, we're not used to it. So our sticks, we're a little bit more reckless with our sticks, but we don't realize. So sometimes even in the summer, we play with the guys and they have visors on. And I know I've hit them in the face before just in summer skates. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, I'm so sorry. So it's something that we'd have to get used to. But yeah, no, that'd be a little scary.
Yeah, I agree. I think a lot of people are bringing that up in the sense of it's nice to get to know the person under the mask and or the cage in our sense. And I think the cage does cover up a lot more of our faces. And so it's harder to get to know, well, I guess what we look like. But I don't know. I definitely could not wear one. I don't even like coaching without a helmet, to be honest. But I do think there is some benefit of kind of knowing the person under the mask. But at some point, it's also just hockey. And I think we've played with cages for so long that it's something that might be easier to stay.
Sure. No one wants to get, like, their teeth knocked out, so.
Okay, we're way back in the corner again. I've got Avery with a question.
Avery. Give him a wave. Sure. Try.
Over here. So we've seen the wide. So we've seen the wide adoption over professional hockey of the power play evolution, where it used to be ran through the points, and now it's being run largely through the half boards. Do you see it evolving again, maybe five forwards, maybe from behind the net? I don't know.
This is Renata's question.
I think you see more often like the four forwards and one D. I think it really could evolve. Like, I think a lot of teams in NHL have really changed it up. Like, I love watching the Leafs power play. Like, I know, like, I love watching Austin Matthews and even the routes he runs in the zone. Like, it's really fun to watch. He creates so much space for himself, and I don't think a lot of people really notice how good he is at it. Even guys like Mitch Marner too. Like, he's probably one of the smartest players I've ever seen. He's unbelievable. But I think you'll see it. I think it'll keep changing as the game changes. But in our game, I think it'll kind of be the same. I think you'll see some teams run four forwards and kind of more offensive, but I don't know. It's just, I think the young generation, like Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner, are going to be the ones that change it, I think.
Yeah, and I think the big kind of movement too is the amount of movement they are creating on the power play. I think when we grew up, it was always a formation that you were kind of stuck in, and it was stagnant, and it wasn't necessarily moving from position to position. But I think nowadays, especially through watching the Leafs and working with Mike, I think getting more movement and coming off the half wall and moving instead of being stuck in those positions is something that we're starting to see a lot more of in the NHL, and I think our coaches are even starting to try and bring it to us as well.
Yeah, if you think, like, on the movement thing again, if you think about it, if you're moving full speed at a penalty kill that's not moving, like, how scary is that on the PK if someone's coming at you full speed with a whole bunch of options, right? So, I don't know. I think, like you said, it's way better if you're moving more.
From a tender's perspective, how much more difficult is it if it's run from behind the net, two players down low?
It just makes it really awkward just because when you're on your post and stuff, you're kind of in a vulnerable position. You have a lot of different things that you can do to try and stop it, but it's a very awkward and uncomfortable position because there's so many variables. They can literally go anywhere with the puck, and you can only go certain ways. And, I mean, they get the shots off so fast that, I mean, if you're off by a tiny, tiny bit, like, they're going to score, especially in the NHL. So I think lots of movement, too, is good.
And we've got about 5 more minutes left to steal of these ladies' time, so we'll try to get 1 or 2 more questions, depending on how long they talk. That's a good thing that you talk. So.
Stand by. Okay, we have Kyle.
So recently, the NHLPA released their poll of players. So taking from that, who's the best trash talker in the women's game? And if you want to go there, who's the worst?
I think trash talker's got to be Bose.
Yeah, I think my roommate. Yeah, Megan Bose is actually pretty good.
She, yeah, I think
she's scary too.
But she's so nice. You never know, but she's the best.
Yeah, she has some good one-liners, that's for sure.
Stace has some good ones at the bench after she comes off and tells me and goes, I should have said that on the ice. God.
Yeah, I can't say anything on the ice. I just panic.
Same.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. I think Bo's is probably the best. The worst? I don't know.
Do you guys get chirped a lot? Like, I don't know. I try to stay away from that stuff. Yeah. I lead the league in penalties, but I don't get into that.
I don't know if we have a ton of chirping. Like, there's a little bit, but we're also, a lot of us know each other really well, so we just kind of play hard and battle, but there's a lot of chirping. I feel like we chirp at, like, on the bench. We're like, oh, we should have said that, or like, you're like, man, it would have been way better if we would have done that, but I don't know if there's a ton that goes on.
I've heard Haley Irwin was really good.
Oh, yeah, probably.
I could see that for sure.
What about in the international games, Canada-US games?
Definitely.
Yeah.
And a lot of physical battles for sure, but
I would say in the rivalry series there's a lot, like, especially like with all the, if you guys watched the games, it was pretty physical, especially the first game, there's a lot going on, I would say.
Laying the body.
Lots of laying the body, yeah.
Yeah. Anyone else?
Any other questions?
No?
That's it?
Okay. I guess one question for me. The Frozen Four in the NCAA starts tomorrow, March 22nd. Three Clarkson alumni. Sorry.
That's okay. up Big Green.
Clarkson's going up against the top seed, Wisconsin. Do you guys see an upset coming?
Absolutely. I think if you guys follow NCAA for the last couple of years, if anyone's going to do it, I think it's them, right? I think there's something about Clarkson, like the program that they put together, like Matt D's put together, is pretty gritty, and when they seem to come together at the right time. And I don't know, we've all been in those dressing rooms, and when you catch it, the energy, it's pretty hard to stop. So I'm excited to watch it. I think as a fan now, it's fun to watch.
Yeah, they're definitely facing a really talented Wisconsin team, but there's something about Clarkson, and it was the same when all of us were on that team. We play it as a team, and defense comes first, and I think sometimes when Clarkson plays those Western Conference teams, they don't take as much pride in their defense as Clarkson does, and sometimes that's, you know, why we're successful. And so I'm excited to watch the game, and yeah, I could see an upset happening for sure.
Yes, I really hope they can pull off the three-peat, but, you know, take it one game at a time. It seems like Clarkson's always the underdog anyways, so I think they embrace that role. I know I always did, and we always did when we played together, so it'll be fun to watch.
I guess I'll cheer for Clarkson, too.
Green.
I don't know. I think it's always fun to watch the Frozen Four. Four great teams made it. I know Cornell battled really hard to get there. So it's going to be a pretty good weekend. It's always great hockey, and I think it would be amazing to see Clarkson do it again.
I guess final question, and this was something that somebody asked me on a podcast, and I basically just like mumbled and complained about it and ignored it because I couldn't answer the question, so I'll throw it to you guys. If you could have like a Mount Rushmore of women's hockey, current or former, who would be on that Mount Rushmore from you? And it's four people on it. I had to ask them. I think it's four, right? Four heads on Mount Rushmore?
That's tough.
Yes. Now you do it.
Angela James, I think, for sure. And then I think you gotta have Cassie Campbell.
I like it.
And who was the first person you said?
Angela James.
I think Poulin, I think the thing, like, the girl averages two goals a game in Olympic, like, gold medal games. It's pretty insane. Like, it's insane. But I don't know, what else do you guys think? I've always been a big fan of Jana Heffer. I don't know if she gets, like, now that she's in the Hockey Hall of Fame and stuff, but she was just phenomenal throughout her whole career, so that would be my pick. Do you guys have anybody else?
I like that. Keep it Canadian.
Oh yeah, there are Americans out there.
I like it.
I mean, Angela Ruggiero is a good one too. I think she was,
or Cammy Granato.
Granato, yeah. I mean, Ruggiero was a monster out there. She was pretty scary to play against. I've heard, I haven't played against her, but yeah, I think girls like that would be pretty good.
Anything different?
Good picks.
Lors. Are you both just going to steal their picks? You know, yeah. You
have to, yeah, no, they crushed it.
Yeah.
Maybe Laura Stacey too. I don't know.
No,
maybe
you.
Maybe in another year.
All right, I think on that note, let's give one final round of applause. Laura Stacey, Shay Tiley, Renata Fast, and Jamie Lee Rattray, thank you so much for joining us. And that concludes our women's hockey show. Thank you so much for coming, guys. I really appreciate it. Like I said, I hosted a men's hockey show last week, and it didn't get half the crowd that you guys brought. So it's really great to see everyone coming out to talk about women's hockey and really support these players. So thank you so much, guys.